The views, opinions, or advice offered by this show's host do not necessarily reflect those of News Talk 780 KOH or its parent company, Cumulus Media. This is Bosma on Business with award-winning entrepreneur Mike Bosma, sponsored by Keystone CPAs. We're getting Northern Nevada back to business.
Good morning, Reno. It is Mike Bosma, your business-savvy CPA, coming to you from the KOH studio. Hey, you Garden Show listeners, you want to hang tight and hang on. Today's installment of Bosma on Business, we're going to teach you how to turn that garden produce, the cabbage, into true cabbage, some greenbacks, some Benjis, and to make a buck or two and all things financial planning. It is Saturday after Black Friday. Going to talk about what all that means and how to make a buck and save a buck here in this Christmas season, or is it the holiday season, or is it Hanukkah, whatever, all of the above. For whatever your political or religious persuasion is, on today's installment of Bosma on Business, we're going to be talking to you about side hustles and a way to make a buck or two this Christmas season to be able to buy whatever you want and, if you're smart, to save money this Christmas season. Your host, Mike Bosma, coming to you each and every Saturday, giving you 60 minutes of action-packed business adventure. As I mentioned, today's installment of Bosma on Business, a little bit of a departure from the standard fare of have a business owner talk about their business and then I help fix their business or make it better on the way. Today, I wanted to talk about financial planning because, you probably, and maybe this is a day late and a dollar short, if you went out and hit Black Friday and spent all your greenbacks on presents that people don't know or care about, then, actually, I would say, how many of you KOH listeners are saying, Bosma, I was out in the mess yesterday, but it was all to take advantage of all those great sales for me, right? I'm gifting myself, the great gift exchange with myself. As I mentioned today, we want to get into some of the ABCs of financial planning. I want to just recap a couple consultations I had. Of course, each and every week we have many of our loyal listeners call in and say, hey, you think you're so good, or just say, hey, I need help, whatever it is, let's see if we can navigate this thing. And so I just have some stories and we're going to elaborate on that. And it all tied back to having as much money as you want. And it is one of my core beliefs. I believe we are as rich as we want to be. And I was at the front desk of the Bosma Business Center. We're having an HVAC episode, and one of our tenants' offices was a balmy 98 degrees. The heater got stuck on, so I was at the control panel at the con working through some of those nuances of, okay, what's going on with this thing? So do I need to call the maintenance repairman, or do I need to reset the unit, or what? And a gentleman walked in the front door of the Bosma Business Center, and he says, hey, I'm looking for a guy that somebody said if I come here, I could get an hour of this guy's time, and I'm in a jam, and I'm like, well, are you looking for Mike Bosma? And he said, well, yes, I am. I go, well, I am he. And of course, he had that moment of, I thought he was this, highbrow advisor. I didn't realize he was the receptionist. Never underestimate the value of the receptionist, I tell you, because who knows, right? But so I'm like, well, okay, well, and I told him, he was asking specifically for a lawyer. I said, well, what's your trouble? And he's, well, I'm in some low income housing over at Riverside Artist Lofts, and I went off to graduate school, and I knew I needed to subsidize my housing, and I rented my room out to somebody for the last 3 years. I'm like, okay, I'm tracking with you so far. Make a buck or two. He's sleeping literally on the couch, and he rents his room out so he can pay for grad school. Actually, pretty smart. But then he says, well, but I need a lawyer because I this lady won't leave. I finished graduate school. I got a job, and now I could pay the whole rent. But gosh, golly, gee whiz, she won't leave. And so I'm trying to evict her, and I tried once unsuccessfully, and then went to the court, and the court said, nice try. And the reason I mention it is this. Oftentimes, we're all trying to figure out, should I use a professional or not, right? Do I do it myself or do I use somebody else and pay? And he's like, yeah. And I said, well, I'm not an attorney. So I of course, that is my offer to the universe. I'll give you an hour of my time, see if I can help you. And I just told him, I was like, brother, I'm not an attorney, so I really, you know, although I am a landlord, and if I needed to evict, you know, I could show you some of the paperwork that if I had to evict a commercial tenant, but I have no earthly idea how to evict a residential tenant, especially one that lives in the house that I live in. So I said, yeah, bro, you need an attorney. He said, well, I can't afford it. I asked a guy and a general practitioner, and I spent a half hour of his time. That was a couple hundred bucks. And he, you know, he really couldn't help me. And I said, well, and so one of the first bullet point I want you to take away from today's installment of Bosma and Business is specialty matters. Specialty matters. If you're going to use any kind of advisor and you need more than just your generic advice, then you need specialty advisors. I said, you know, his name was Wes. I go, Wes, you know, you've got a very, you know, real landlord-tenant issue, but the problem that you have is you've got one room, and so many of the attorneys that practice in the space and represent landlords that really know what they're doing, they represent big landlords, you know, dozens or scores of units in these things. And so they're used to evicting people every day. I go, your problem is if you go to a real estate attorney and say, hey, I need to know the ABCs, 1, 2, 3s of evicting somebody that lives in the place that I live in. They're going to say, well, you know, it's, you know, you're not worth my time. Even if you're willing to pay the freight for the 1 or 2 hours it's going to take to help you, I don't take those clients. I need bigger clients because it's not worth the energy. And he just couldn't get his mind around that. So I guess that's, but he needed a specialist in residential real estate from the landlord side. And, you know, he's trying to go through, the city has some resources, but it's all begged towards a tenant, helping tenants. So because, you know, the idea there is if you're a landlord, you know, you're this big land baron with all kinds of real estate. And it's just, you know, most, a lot of times it's just not true. So I know a guy and I gave him a referral. I said, but make sure you tell him I sent you. And he's like, well, why? Why does that matter? I said, well, because just like I just said, if you know, he may not even take the call if it's just a one-off. And so away he went. But you know, and I said, well, how much is this going to cost? I said, well, you know, the attorney's rates are somewhere between $400 and $500 an hour now, and it'll probably, you know, you just need to budget $2,000. And he just looked at me, he got real sad, which made my heart sad. It did. He got real sad. He goes, I don't have $2,000. I'm like, well, you know, you just finished graduate school. What did you graduate from? Did you graduate from graduate school in? And he's like, I'm an art teacher. I'm like, okay, well, if you're an art teacher, you're probably an artist. And what's your genre? He's like, I do painting and sketching. I'm like, okay, well, go sell a couple $1,000 of those paints and sketches. And this is where it got fun for this show. It kind of gave, was the genesis for what I want to talk about today. Because on the fly, old Wes needing a couple $1,000s to hire an attorney. And, you know, you can tell, you know he sells his stuff. And, you know, there's different collaboratives that are out there in the, you know, in Reno. And that's all good. But, you know, he just didn't really, he's like, you sound like it's easy to sell $2,000 of artwork. And I said, well, if it's good and it catches somebody's eye, you can sell it for $2,000 easily. But you have to, you know, you'll become an expert in your own vertical. If it's you, become an expert in how artistry works and what stuff sells for. And, you know, if you're don't be surprised if you sell all of your stuff at the flea market that you get flea market pricing. So I gave him, you know, some of my experience working with other artists that sell, I think like I was a sculptor I did work for a lot of years. And, he wouldn't sell anything less for $45,000 for one of his sculptures, you know, and that's just a bronze replication of the original. So beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Well, value is in the eye of the buyer. And so I said, well, you know, here's some websites you can go to, and you know, you'll have to invest in a high resolution camera, but probably you can pull it off on your iPhone. But you take pictures of your artwork, you can upload it to these auction sites, and they can auction your stuff off. And but you have to create a compelling story about why you're special or unique. And now when I say special and unique, that does not mean that you ride the short bus to graduate school. You're special in a different way. You have a talent or a God-gifted ability to do something special people better than most, as good as any. And I said, so if you become an expert of being in the business of selling art, you'll find over time you'll sell a lot of art. And I go, if you need that to be able to get off your couch so you can sleep in your own bed again, I see no greater motivation than figuring that out soon. I call it get skippy with it. So he said, maybe I will take you up on one of those 1 hour consultations. And I said, well, you only got 45 minutes left. So so I gave my card and off he went. But it kind of got the old brain juices going, where I'm like, if you just look around, there's a way to make a buck or two. And it doesn't matter who you are or what your abilities are. I had a lady, kind of the second example of that. I had a lady years ago. And when we had in fact, it's funny, it's like this time of year, right? Thanksgiving. Some of my greatest memories are baked around Thanksgiving, at least as far as Facebook go. I guess I'm really good about posting on Facebook about epic memories on Facebook. And when I bought the building, which was now 11 years ago, 11 and change, first year we did a turkey drop, and really was, because we had a bunch of vendors coming back and forth, construction workers. I just want to say thank you to the neighborhood for kind of bearing with us. And so I had a big open house. Hey, you want to come look at the building? You can, because these are all personal residences. And I said, then I said, if for the benefit of my business owner friends, I go, bring a turkey, and then we'll give it out to people in need. So I said, if you're in the neighborhood and you're in need, let us know. We'll get one to you. And I met this lady. Her name is Margot. Now, Margot is a self-identified crazy scientist lady. Now, and if you were to see Margot, without even talking to her, you would say, well, there's some part of crazy in Margot. When I lived in downtown Reno, I used to call it a little downtown flavor. Now, Margot wasn't homeless, but she was real close to homeless. And I gave her a turkey and hooked her up for Thanksgiving meal. And she's, well, thank you. And I gave her one of those free 1 hour consultations. And so she said, really what I'm doing is I'm learning how to garden. I go, okay, well, Margot, why garden? Because that's really hard to make money in, unless you have big farms. And she goes, well, I just figure if I can grow my own food, I won't starve when I'm homeless. And I'm like, ooh, why would you think you're going to be homeless? And she went through to talk about her various financial woes and medical maladies that would preclude her from gainful full-time employment. I go, I get it. Oftentimes, the best side hustle, which becomes your main hustle when you're going through different trials in life, is just to become an entrepreneur. Because guess what? You can't get fired as an entrepreneur. You get fired by your clients. But by and large, you could, if you're going to be a window washer on the corner and just, window wash for tips, if you do a poor job, then you're not going to get fired. You're going to, the next person's going to come by, and then you'll say, maybe I'll try a little bit better so I can actually get paid next time. It fixes itself. So when Margaret came in, I'm poor. I don't want to be homeless. And if I am homeless, I don't want to starve. And this is her real concern. So let's do this when we come back. Let's talk about how Margot went from on the cusp of homelessness to really being able to make good money helping people when we come back. It's called Bosmon Business. News Talk 780 KUH.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Welcome back to Bosmon Business, your host, Mike Bosma, talking about the different trials and tribulations of different people in need and how to make all the magic happen this holiday season. The day after Black Friday, 2 days after Thanksgiving, we just think, how thankful are we that we get to, help people and of different hours of need or opportunity. And I've been doing that for a long time, popping on almost 11 years now on KOH and the radio, and now the podcast is really starting to take off. As you can go to iHeartRadio or BosmonBusiness.com or the on-demand tab at KKOH to listen to those prior episodes. Pretty much any type of business that you're trying to track down, we've had them on the radio show. And so this holiday season, I would encourage you to to get smart about something, to figure out how to make a buck or two. You know, before the break, talking about Margot and her not wanting to be homeless. And so I said, well, Margot, you know, you haven't been in this spot for forever. You know, what did you do when you were gainfully employed? And he said, oh, I was a physics teacher. I'm like, okay, I got my PhD in physics. Like, okay, well, I understand why you're, you know, a little left to center, you know, a little off. That stuff's hard stuff. And she said, yeah, but then my PTSD, ADHD, OCD, really her real issue is a THC. But and I just said, well, no, okay, well, you know, I understand, you know, you're not in a place to go teach a class again. But I go, but you know this stuff, right? She goes, oh yeah, I know, like back of my hand. I go, but I can't use it. I said, well, or can you? So my deal with Margo was, I says, you know, this is how tutoring goes. And there's all these kids up on the college campus, UNR, that are struggling like the Dickens on how to do calculus and all this stuff. And I said, I know that's easy. I'm like, okay, well, easy to you is not easy for everybody. I said, why don't you become a tutor? She said, well, I don't know how to become a tutor. I go, well, you're in the right place because I know how to become, you know, a business. And so we got her set up on some social media to be able to get her word out there. I told her, like, Mario, you're gonna have to tighten up your Facebook social media presence. You know, hanging out with homeless people is not gonna inspire these parents to trust you with their little cherub, you know, their little college student. So we got that tightened up, and then she says, but you know, my house, you know, I'm not homeless yet, but I don't live in a great place. I'm just going to kind of weird people out. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, Margaret, what we'll do. If I have an extra office at the Bozeman Business Center for $1 a month, I will let you rent that office on a month-to-month basis. And of course, now as a business owner, I'm like, well, depending on how off the beaten path Margot gets, I want to be able to reserve my right, as we talked about the last segment, about to say, Margot, this has been real. It's been fun, but not real fun. You're done. But, you know, that was a number of years ago. And I just said, for $1 a month, you can rent an office, and you can, you know, and so, and she did. And now for her, and this was, you know, back at the beginning, it's probably 9-10 years ago now, I said, $35 an hour is the going rate for a tutor at UNR. And she goes, that's a lot of money. I go, well, especially for you, because she's living on $1,000 a month. So if you can, you know, just do, you know, a couple tutoring sessions a week, you know, now you've doubled your income, and now you've got all this money you don't know what to do with. you know, for many that are listening to this show, you're like, I couldn't even get my mind around living on $1,000 a month. Well, as one of my many heroes said, Ben Franklin said, it's amazing how little you can live on if you put your mind to it. So I said, okay, that's great. So we got her little tutoring business going, and you know, and you'd see the kids coming and going. We had, you know, we're on the bus line for RTC. So until this year, when they decided to strike, you can, you know, easily jump on the bus and you know, and then you can take the Spirit. Actually, it was free. So that way, it's like right on the bus line, a nice office. You know, look professional. You know, we call it faking it till you make it. And again, I would say saved her bacon, right? So, you know, those are things. There's always a way to make a buck or two. But everybody has different talents and abilities. So, you know, so I guess that leads me to my next one. So if you're out there and you're saying, oh, because I think especially now, that's why I wanted to talk about this today. Well, you know, there's no time than you feel poorer than when you can't participate in the economy when everybody's participating in the economy. And candidly, there's more money floating around now than ever. And if you're out there, maybe, you know, you don't have two nickels to rub together, or you're living on a real, you know, stringent budget, and you just don't have any wiggle room. If you want the wiggle room, which I'd say if, you know, everybody wants a little wiggle room, then there's a way to do that. But that is the learn. That's where you can go out of your comfort zone. And so my next story is about a young lady that is 28 years old. And I came across her for a lot of reasons. And I just kind of had a heart to try and help this lady. And it was really big because she was going to get kicked out of her apartment. And it's like right after the eviction moratorium, you know, ceased. And so they're like, nope, this has some legs to it. And you're going to be. And so she had lost her job and had started a new one. But it takes a couple weeks for that to, for the payment to kick in for that. And so she had, you know, when she lost her, she couldn't, even if she lived paycheck to paycheck. So when she's out of work for a couple weeks, it made it so she couldn't pay her rent. Like many people. And she said, well, hey, can you help me pay my rent? I need, you know, $760. And I'm like, $760. Well, $760. I figure, well, you know, what's your jam? What do you, I was like, I think you can help people clean or move or organize and do that kind of stuff. And just, you know, kind of be a gal Friday, whatever they need, you know, that's legal, you pervert. That's legal. So, I know you old men. No, it's not that. That costs more. Just kidding. Don't ever do that. But if you do, never mind. I'm just, boy, I took my medicine. Yeah, I'm good. Okay, so, but if I, you know, so I told her, her name is Alexis. I go, Alexis, if you, you know, you need $760, I have some friends that said they need some help, and they'll pay you $25 an hour to go, you know, basically help them. They're moving their house. I said to help pack and wrap stuff and da-da-da-da. You know, not doing any heavy lifting, but, and I said, if you do that for a couple days, you'll have enough for rent. And she was like, oh, okay, I'll do that. And it was funny because later when I was talking to her, she says, you know, when I asked you for, you know, when you said you would help, and then when I said, well, can you pay my rent? He said, well, no, that was the kind of help I was thinking of. Right? It was like that old parable, right? You teach a man to fish, you know, or versus give a fish, right? You give a fish, you saved him for a day. Teach him how to fish, you'll save his life. So it's like, hey, I it's my DNA, man. I don't give strangers money. It's just, I help strangers every day, pretty much. Like, this is kind of how I work. I'm like, I found something that you could do. That I found somebody that would actually hire you to do this work, and because you don't have a car, they're going to come pick you up. But I understand that is awkward, right? Because think about, you know, like a lot of people, and that's probably some of the hardest things you'll do in your life, and some of the best things you'll do in your life, is when you come to that inflection point where you're like, man, I'm going to have to humble myself and do something that I think I should pay others to do, right? Like clean your toilets, like do that kind of stuff. And that's hard, right? Because, you know, I think from a pride or self-worth perspective, you're like, oh man, what am I going to do? So I shared with Alexis. I go, Alexis, I understand that's a big ask. It's out of your comfort zone. I go, but you know, when I was your age, living in Las Vegas, I realized I had a real trouble living within my means. And so I would generally charge up on credit cards. I get the credit card paid down, and then something would happen. I'd have to charge it back up. I'm like, I had to learn, because I was going to start my career in public accounting, to live on a lot less. I took a 40% pay cut to start my CPA gig. And so my head gasket blew out of my car, and I didn't want to go on the credit card again to fix it. I just said, I looked over at my wife's car, and it had a set of mag rims and radial TAs. And I'm like going, if I, you know, that rims and tires cost $800, and the rims and tires that were on there were perfectly fine, but they didn't look good enough. And I'm like going, it's a four-door Honda Accord, for crying out loud. Who cares? So what I do is the producer's, you know, flagging me down, but, you know, Mike, land this plane quickly. So when we come back, I am going to talk about how I got through my problem with a blown head gasket, trying to learn to be frugal, actually trying to learn to spend less than I make. And what happened with Alexis? When we come back, it's the Financial Wealth Power Talk on Bosbon Business. News Talk 780, KOH.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome back to Bosma Business. Your host, Mike Bosma. you know, one of the things that we do each and every week is, as I mentioned, help people that are, you know, have different questions, thoughts, comments, and a lot of it, the people have an idea. Some of it, I'm in a jam. I don't know what to do. And you know, like the gentleman walked in the front door and needed an attorney. I'm not an attorney. But sometimes I play one on the radio. But I'm not for reals, just for fakes. But you know, they need a real attorney, and I referred them, and that's fine too. You know, I just want to help people, and that's my give back. But if you need one of those, 775-786-4900, free one-hour consultation, mbosma@keystone.cpa. You want to get that sooner rather than later, especially if now that the, you know, really the tax budget and tax changes is pretty much baked. It hasn't been signed yet, but will be shortly. And we know what it is. And see if any of that is impacting you or your world. Again, 775-786-4900 or mbosma@keystone.cpa. We'll help you down the road. As I was mentioned before the break, I live in Las Vegas, 28 years old, realizing, you know, I need to learn to spend less than I make. And it was a blown head gasket on my car. And I'm like, yeah, I can put yet again more money on the credit card. And I just have to learn that, you know, I made a bad decision buying these really cool rims and tires for my Honda Accord. So I'm like, okay, fine. So I went and bought a bike, a 10-speed. I lived in Las Vegas. It was the middle of the summer, for crying out loud. And I rode my 10-speed to work. I did swing shift. I was working 2 to 11s. I remember I got to work, and it was a good pull. It took me about an hour to get to work, and I am just sweating. I am dying. I just went in the produce cooler. I am just completely melting. And you know, it's funny. I started doing that for a while, and then my friends were like, "Going, man, did you get a DUI? What happened?" I'm like, "Well, my car broke." Like, so can't you just get it fixed? I'm like, "Oh, just shut up." Right? I'm trying to learn a lesson. I'll tell you. And riding that 10-speed to work, it was humbling. It was hard. You're admitting to the world that something's broken, because nobody in their right mind rides their 10-speed to work a long way away in the middle of the summer in Las Vegas. So like, there's a reason you don't have your air-conditioned car like normal people. So I had to swallow my pride and ride my bike to work, right? And that was a great learning moment for me. And kind of in that season, I just said, you know, I just need to have some savings so when the head gasket blows, I'm not riding my bike to work. And that was very cathartic. It was very good for me, because then it was like going, look, you know, that whole thing. I'm looking at those rims and tires. I was stupid. Well, you have to do that so that you're just not sucked into this economy that we have about, I want, I need. And so that you have some cushion, some margin, so that if something happens, you're not struggling with being homeless. You're not struggling with, you know, racking up a bunch of credit card debt. And because the problem is, just like as hard as it was for me to jump on my 10 speed and then really, swallow my pride when I got to work about why in the world I'm driving my 10 speed. I mean, I'm an accounting student, for crying out loud. I'm supposed to have all this stuff dialed in. And just to admit, hey, you know, I kind of screwed up on that one. But I did not get a DUI. But if I did, okay, you still learn from it. And so I shared that story with Alexis, and who is trying to get her rent paid, and I said, yeah, you know, I found somebody that you can make $25 an hour, work, you know, 2-3 days, and you'll be able to get enough for rent, and not be homeless, and you could tell this schism in her head. She's like, well, I can do it, but I don't want to do it. Right? I didn't want to get on the bike. I didn't. But I knew I needed to. And so Alexis, when my friend went to her apartment to go pick her up, she ghosted her. So everybody's got to find their way. And ultimately, I was talking to Alexis's mom, who actually paid the rent. And I was just like, oh, why did you do that? You know, there was an opportunity. There was an opportunity. And I think those are things where, you know, when we look back, the benefit of time, and we kind of get in this, you know, almost vapor locked. Like, I got to do this. Well, a lot of times just take a deep breath And if you're uncertain, get counsel. I mean, it's just, you know, through that season of my life back, 30 years ago in Las Vegas, you know, I had some newfound friends that I had met in church, and they sure seemed to have their act together. Either that or they're faking it tremendously well. And I'm looking at the kind of the mess my life was. You know, I mean, I had my two kids who I love, but back then they were complete hellions. You know, they were the kids in the grocery store that were, if they didn't get the candy that they demanded, they would be, you know, laying on the ground, kicking and screaming and have a complete fit. And I'm like, I was over my skis. I had no tools to be able to deal with that. And so, you know, I saw these other people and I just had to, again, humble myself. I'm just going to ask, like, how do you have such great kids? And they just kind of chuckle. Well, they're not great all the time, but maybe what you see, but when we have stuff, this is how we deal with it. I'm like, I never thought of that. Okay. What's a timeout? You know, okay, you're going to sit. So, but and you glean that stuff from other people but you have to be able to be willing to be vulnerable and to have those relationships and to risk or fear being, you know, people think you're an idiot. Well, guess what? Sometimes we are an idiot. So let me leave you with this one. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I had a gentleman, Wes, walked in. I need an attorney. I talked to a generalist. He couldn't help. I needed a specialist. So this last weekend, my house, I had a lot of big trees in my house, and there was one that is actually a cluster of three trees, each about anywhere from 12 inches to 15 inches wide. So they're big trees. But they're right at the entrance of my driveway. So when you pull out of the driveway, if somebody's, you know, hauling it down the road, they can't see you and you can't see them. So it's like this leap of faith every time you're leaving the house. And I'm like, those trees have to go. You know, and they were probably fine when they were small, but now they're big and you can't see around them. And I fear for my family every time walking out. So of course I get a bid, like, how much is it going to cost to cut these trees down? And it's expensive. And I'm like, well, that's insane. That's a lot of money. And now my dad growing up, it was a tree surgeon. He cut trees down for a living. So I've been around this my entire life. And I have a big chainsaw, a really big chainsaw, Jill Bosma. And I asked my dad if, hey, you know, do you have a buddy in Hayward that can drive the, let me borrow the chipper, you know, and because ultimately you can take the trees down, but you got to do something with the wood. And these trees are big and heavy. So I fly out to Oakland. He picks me up at the airport. We drive this 13-ton chipper back with a 1-ton truck to get to my house, and me, my 82-year-old dad, and my 54-year-old friend Ramon start to cut down all these trees and feed them through this chipper that can take up to an 18-inch log. And I got done Sunday night. And I was a beat, right? Now, I sit at a desk for a living. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I am so far over my skis right now. But Ramon, who's only 2 years younger than me, you know, he's fit as a fiddle, and he's just, you know, throwing this stuff around like that. And I said, well, I'm not going to be outdone, young whippersnapper. And so, you know, and I'm just waiting to blow out my back, and I'm just like, okay, I got to sit, I got to do it. So anyway, we get it all done. I tell my beautiful bride, Jill, when we're all done, and remember, so like those three trees by the street, guess which way they grow? They grow over the street. So when you cut them down, where do they fall? In the middle of the street. So we're trying to flag traffic. I got my tractor out. I'm trying to pull the tree off out of the street. And all of a sudden I got a big gash in my tractor tire. I mean, it needs a battery. I'm like, oh my gosh. So you get it all done. Hallelujah. And I tell my beautiful bride, Jill, I go, oh, Jill, next time I have this idea that I could do this work myself, remind me of this moment and say, Mike, yes, you can, because last year or whenever it was in November of 2021, you earned your man card back, but it's a lifetime membership now. You're 56 year old and you're out doing stuff with what young healthy people should be doing, and you for have your permanent life admittance to manlyhood. You do not have to do this anymore, and hire it out and pay the freight. And so I said, okay, thank you. So but the other part of that story was, so I'm like, okay, way. So I, you know, and of course I'm having to fill up the truck coming over here, and I got all these costs. I got to buy a battery, And so I get done. I'm like, okay, well, this is all the money I saved. And I'm like going, oh no. What do I always tell my listeners? What's my advice in the office? Hey, if you save money doing this, take the difference and put it in your Schwab account. So I'm like, off it goes into the Schwab account. So, okay, fine. But it was like, I needed an expert in that moment. And fortunately, nobody got hurt. I'm a little bruised and battered, but it's not a home improvement project until there's blood involved. But you know, it worked out great. It was probably what I told Ramon later was, I go, so Ramon, thank you so much for being a good friend. That's the best time I had with my dad. I can't tell you how long. And I go, he was in his element, you know, and we just had, and that's because some of my favorite memories growing up were, you know, me dragging brush for dad, throwing it in the chipper. I says, it's just this on a much bigger scale when I am not equipped to handle it physically. So let's do this. We come back. We're going to say the number one thing, the big aha, the big takeaway about how to finish well this fiscal year. We call it Bosmon Business. News Talk 780 KWH.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Welcome back to Bosmon Business. Here is Mike Bosmon. Hopefully you enjoyed my tales from the dark side. Just different things we work through, and self-included, trying to learn the lessons in life so that we can have a better life. And, you know, one of the things that I would say once I figured out my why, why do I do all this, you know, and it's really, I want to help people. I am abundantly blessed. I'm thankful beyond measure as we think about Thanksgiving, and thankful for all you, you tune in, many of you every week, and you give me feedback, and I appreciate it. Very, very blessed, am I. And, I think as we look forward, I the big promise is, what's the big aha, the big takeaway to, finish well this year. And, I tell people, especially if you're giving gifts, it's better to give a meaningful gift than, just spending money. And I remember when my youngest son, Ryan, was like 4 or 5, big Christmas, and, give him all these toys. And because what we do as parents, right? We just like, they need this tractor. They need this and that. And I remember Christmas was over. He's sitting in his pajamas with his Barney pajamas and his bicycle helmet in a box that the toy came in, watching TV, and he's happy as a clam. And I'm like, yeah, he just needs a box. He's happy, man. The box was free. So I was like, rather than just kind of check stuff off, I'm reading a book called Giftology. Man, it'll change your approach to gifting. And that is basically, if you're going to gift, just go big. Like, just make a gift matter in somebody, that it's going to move the needle forward. So I have some friends that golf, and I have an embroidered golf bag that I won at a golf tournament. And it's special. It's like, it really stands out. And so I thought, there's a couple people that have commented, like, wow, that's a really nice bag. Where'd you get that? And so for Christmas, I'm buying them a bag, big embroidered bag, and it's just going to really bless them, And I think, those types of things that, that we get to do for people and really move the needle. I remember there was a minute back when my kids were young, my mom, she bought a bedroom set for our nursery. Now, if you know me well, you know that I spend money very frugally. It's hard for me to spend money, right? Because I bought the mag rims. I that was the one side of the equation. But then I'm like, I don't want to spend any money ever. So, you've listened to these shows. Like, how many times I talk about Facebook free? Why would you pay money for that? You can get it free on Facebook. And I kind of went on the other side. So I trying to, use things that aren't made for a nursery. And she bought the bedroom set. And then she came in, cleaned the room. And I said, well, why'd you do that, Mom? She's, well, I really thought you needed it and would appreciate it. And I said, well, I, I didn't know I needed it, but I definitely appreciate it, you know. And I remember that dresser, you know, stayed with us for a long time because it was like one of those things. My mom passed a number of years ago, and that it was a special moment for us where she was like, oh, you know, this would help you. And I think as you're out deciding what to do for folks, and we're not necessarily whether they'd like it or not, but sometimes the most impactful gifts are the things that people are either passionate about or can really move the needle for them. And that's where I guess I'd close on this is, you know, in this gift, you know, make sure like you have a budget and then figure out how to make it go as long as humanly possible. And I think what you will find is, you know, that extra amount of rigor will allow you to do some pretty special stuff with your gift giving this year. So I would say that's my big aha, the big takeaway. So speaking of big takeaways, next week, I'm excited. I get Kirsten Dermer up from Las Vegas. She's got this amazing business and relocated up here from Vegas to talk about that transition because we do it every week. We make the business magic happen. We'll see you next week. Keep the business engine running. We call it Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KUH.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.